Hello and welcome to the iPhone gaming podcast from Pocket Gamer. I am the host, Will Wilson, and with me is Peter Wellington.
Hello.
And Keith Andrew.
Hello. You forgot iPad in that introduction.
Oh yeah, iPhone and iPad, yeah.
How can you forget iPad at this week of all weeks?
Dunno.
There's a new one out here.
Really?
Apparently. What,
is it the iPad 3?
Yes, the iPad HD is out this week.
Has it got a haptic sense?
It's got arms. That's all it's got.
Yeah, well, actually, talking of iPad, we'll start off. So let's not go to the news straight away, but, like, you know, there's a new site from Steel Media just launched, the iPad Quality Index, which is Quality Index, but for iPads. So if you've got an iPad at home, tell it that it's got its own site now, I think.
But what if people don't know what Quality Index is?
It's for iPads. Why should I? Why do I need to tell the humans?
I see what you're doing there.
It's a good goof. It's a good goof. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I set
that
one up.
Let's run with it.
That?
Yeah.
our commercial wing won't thank you for that.
But, no, know. No. They'll probably be now sharpening their knives. So I better quickly say, Quality Index is like it's like that site that people know for console games, which aggregates scores from lots of critical, sort of like a meta form of critical response. It's a little bit like that, only it's much better and it's focused on iPhone and now iPad games. It's got lots of top tens and editorial stuff about what the best games are right now on the App Store from loads of high quality sites, including us, of course, and 148 apps and TouchGen there as well. It must be there. And, you know, all your favorite iPhone sites. It's out. The address is iPad. There's no World Wide Web. iPad.qualityindex.com.
That's news to me. There's no World Wide Web.
There's no World Wide Web.
What's happened to it?
It was destroyed by hackers.
It was LulzSec.
Oh! We lost it.
Oh!
Where did it go? Get it back.
Someone should write that story off. I've not seen it anywhere.
Someone took it outside to have a play at lunchtime.
Oh, and they left it behind.
Yeah, they left it
like the pound.
Just like the pound. That's such a... That's a day-to-day reference, which I'm pretty sure no one's going to get. Anyway, let's crack on to the real news. This is the news. News! First up on the news this week, let's go through some light entertainment, first of all. EA really want you to like Mass Effect 3. And they're now an iPhone and iPad game out, which is Infiltrator, came out last Thursday. Or was it this Thursday? No, it was last week, wasn't it? But there's also now a companion app to Mass Effect 3, which has all of the codex entries in it. So, you know, if you're on the bus and you feel like you're going, oh, I can't remember what those badger like ones that are always merchants and they got that and they have to breathe through a breathing apparatus are called. And you could read it. How entertaining is that?
Yeah, that's a good question. How entertaining is that?
How entertaining is it?
Do you know, if I didn't have an iPhone, I would buy one especially just for this. And I don't even own Mass Effect 3, so.
Also, it's also got sort of what else here? You receive messages from characters in Mass Effect 3 after you've interacted with them in the main game. So like
I can see from the screenshot though they don't type in text speak, which I think is
also Samara realistic. Seems kind of well, she is a bit of a cold bastard anyway, but she's just writing like the Reapers have been driven back from this colony for now. There are many, Shepard.
What are you up to?
Yeah, what are you doing tonight? Kiss, kiss,
Reapers
kiss.
Got
it's Ashley.
Lol.
Yeah. So there we go. If you really want your Mass Effect experience to follow you everywhere, like a bad smell, then you can do that. I haven't bought Mass Effect 3.
No.
Did anyone else play the other two?
No, I liked the menu system or the first one, but I never actually played it.
I played like 4 hours of the first one, and I just went, this is a bit boring, isn't it? Like, it's a bit I was expecting more, basically. And then I tried to play the second one, and I've only got an SD TV, and I couldn't read the text, so I gave up on it.
Oh, I like the menu music in the... Not the menu, but the star map music in the first one. That was cool.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. I have an ex who's played it a lot and has a lot of good things to say about it, but not me.
Yeah. Well, there we go. So Datapad is out. It's free. They can't charge for that. Not even EA could charge for that. So it's for the fact
they could charge you for each message you receive, couldn't they? It could be like one of them SMS services.
Talking of smartphones, we're talking about phones. Talking about the iPhone. there's a quote this week which resulted in a very nice headline, but actually isn't what you think it is. Unreal Engine programmer saying that smartphones are the new PC.
Right.
Because they've got a lot of different specifications, and he's saying that every game should have a hardware setting, like on PC, so you could put on anti-aliasing if you've got a top-of-the-range iPhone 4S, or turn it off. Mm. But the thing is, quite a lot of games already do that. Anyway.
And also, that's the thing that puts me off PC games. Like, the last thing I want to do is, like, whip out my phone and be like, right, can I run this version of this game? Or I'll bring the draw distance down, and I'll put the detail settings to medium, and I'll do... Like, I don't really...
If only you could do that with Android apps, then you might be able to run some of them.
I just don't really think that, like, isn't the fact that you buy into a platform like a mobile phone kind of like, I don't really want to have to deal with all of this PC guff. Like, it's the reason I play Android.
That's the reason why they buy Androids.
Yeah, but...
It's the console versus PC debate, isn't it? People buy consoles so they don't have to worry about... Will it run it? Do I have to fiddle about with some gubbins in the back?
Yeah.
I quite like fiddling around with gubbins.
Well, you're a fiddly gubbins kind of person, I know.
I know.
That's why you never stop talking about Android. You're obsessed.
Yeah. Guys, it runs everything just as well as if you download a custom firmware update and then flash your phone and then customize some of the settings in the command panel.
And do an enchanted dance.
Scubbing's fiddling again. Yeah.
And then it just about runs Modern Combat 2. we're being facetious, of course. Many, many modern Android phones can run Modern Combat 2. One or two of them. There we go. So they are like, they want to be like PCs. Mm. Are consoles dying?
Is this another story?
It is. I am. It's another console. It's another console story. NG Moco, smiley face, Ben Cousins, thinks that the death of consoles is already underway thanks to the tablets and smartphones of this world. I'm presuming he means iPhones and iPads of this world rather than Galaxy Tab 10.1 and
he means
I'm in an Android bashing mood tonight, aren't I?
He means those cheap Android tablets you get in the machines at service stations. That's what he means.
The ones where you have to prod about 8 times on the screen to make it register.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm being very nasty to Android this week. I guess it's because we had that Android special a few weeks ago.
I hate Android. So just keep.
Yeah, I know you. You're
becoming.
I don't mind that. Well, here we go. Anyway, so that we're getting off topic. NG Moco. By die, I mean talk about something that has significantly smaller market share with no sign of return.
Ooh. No, yeah, I mean we talked about this before. I'm sure, like on this podcast, because it's not. It's the short answer, but only what the real thing is that things like iPad are changing the console market, and you know that won't become apparent. I mean, it's particularly unfair to pick on consoles now, considering most of them have been out since, you know, they're all coming like they're 6 years old now or so, and in times gone by they'd already be dead. You know, we'd have new ones. So I think it's particularly unfair to make that comparison now. But I think what will be clear whenever the new ones come out is how different they are. I mean, it's up to the game. Things like, you know, there's still expectation of Apple TV coming with apps, which I think a lot of people are surprised they didn't do that the iPad unveiling is going to mean that you know that Microsoft and Sony are going to have some kind of streaming game service in there when it launches. And there's all this talk about, will they have disc drives or will they not? You know, things are changing. So when the consoles launch, I suspect the word console will slowly die, because they're just becoming big media boxes, which are going to be far more like what Apple does with Apple TV in the years to come than, you know, like what we used to play games on. But consoles aren't dead. They're just, you know, it's changing. There's still always going to be a market for people who want to play games on televisions. The nature of the games may change. The way we pay for them may change. The way we get them may change, especially if game isn't on the high street anymore. But the actual thing of having a box under your telly, or even in your telly, where you play games on, it's not going to die. So I think it's particularly short-sighted of people to say things like that, even though they think they're being incredibly visionary. Actually, what they're saying is quite backwards now. So
I think they're not being visionary. They're just being cliched. Like, we've heard this for years and years and years. And it's not even this. It's not even like exclusive to this generation. Like, there was talk of that kind of stuff happening in like the PlayStation 2 era, and they were talking about, and but it was like towards like PCs, you know, like, and they were sort of saying, oh, is the PC's done for, you know, there's no good PC.
To be fair, they've been saying the PC's dead since about 2001.
Yeah, but it's just kind of like, and you just think, as soon as somebody comes out with stuff like this, like, I just wonder why, what sort of motivation there is behind coming out with a statement that's as, frankly, as I'm trying to find a nice word. Yeah, short-sighted. Like, it's just utterly ridiculous.
Well, it's interesting though, especially in terms of the PC, because PC gaming of 2001 is dead. It's like Keith said. No, there's, if you go back to that time, there's pre-Steam. There's no that hasn't survived. There's no PC games in shops anymore, basically, except for, you know, Farming 2012. Which is quite good, actually. It's better than Farming 2011.
Ooh, I don't know.
Yeah, it's got the new Cornfield engine, though, hasn't it?
Yeah. Wheat Tech.
Ah, well, I love the Wheat Tech, boys.
But though. You're right. Like, it did change. But Steam did come along and it changed the way things happen. And that's exactly what's going to happen with consoles. It's just, you know,
it's the same argument people had when we launched, and a lot of people who got so massively into it were kind of saying, oh, you know, the old control pad is dead, you know, this idea of, you know, and when Kinect launched stuff like that, you could easily take the view, well, that's true, actually, they've obviously got a point, you know, the other two have gone this way too. And you know, the next consoles, I don't know what Sony's going to do with theirs. I'm not sure anyone's particularly wanting a move from the next PlayStation, but you know that Kinect is going to be built in the next Xbox or an upgraded version of. So, you know, Wii's come along and it's changed the market, but it hasn't, you know, killed everything else.
Yeah.
So it's the kind of weird, kind of everything has to be black or white thing that people think they have to make these statements.
I think it's funny the people that constantly go on about how you can't play games without having a joypad. Because actually, when you go back in time, the joypad with the dual joysticks isn't actually that old. It's like plenty of games were played before that with like no joysticks, with one joystick, just two buttons, mouse, keyboard. Yep. There's so many different things. It seems weird how people believe that is the only reason why consoles will survive. Well, you know, it's just an evolution, a step in the evolution of the different industries. Yep. Anyway,
it's good. It's good as well, because if any market gets entirely kind of safe and secure, then nothing changes. All they do with their next consoles is make them look nicer, and it needs things like Wii and iPad and smartphones to come along and say, actually, you know, you could do this as well. You need to up your game, you know. So
yeah, I mean, like, if you know, if we didn't have stuff like, you know, iPhone and downloadable content in that kind of way, you wouldn't have the way that the Vita is moving forward with its downloadable content. You wouldn't have, you know, these tiny little games like MotorStorm RC that are like £3, because you know, on the PSP, that would have been a 30, 40 quid title. But yeah, these phones, well, I do agree with him. Like, the phones are a disruptive technology, but it's disruptive in a competitive, you know, evolutionary kind of way.
Yeah. So people always think that word is a bad thing, but it's not. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Makes them up their game.
Every new beginning comes from some other beginnings, and
what? I don't get that reference.
That's a quote from Closing Time, a 90s indie thing from America.
Wow, that is down the rabbit hole, isn't it?
Yeah, it sounded philosophical when I was 14. No, but there we go. Closing Time there. Right. What else have we got in the news this week? Oh, yeah. I should have said this in the site news, but we are now 6 years old. Thanks, Mom. Pocket Gamer, not me, or Keith or Peter. We're all quite old. No, but Pocket Gamer itself is 6 years old. It was launched on March 10th, 2006. Primarily as a site covering Java games,
Java,
and DS, and I was about to say Vita. That would have been amazing. Time machine. No, and PSP. So, yeah. And we were covering N-Gage games as well. That was the new big thing.
I went back and looked at some of the people who have like graced Pocket Gamer, some of the writers and stuff. And I was like looking through, and I was like, wow, like everybody, all the cool people, kind of were like involved with Pocket Gamer. And like looking back at like all the writing and stuff, it's just been amazing. Like, because obviously I'm fairly new to the whole thing, and it's just like, wow, there's like tons of content. Like, what was it we were saying? There's something like a few million words or something like that. Like,
yeah, it's 11 million words.
11 million words.
29,480 articles.
But what do you mean? What do you mean? All the cool people were involved. I don't know what you mean.
Okay, so all the cool people were involved, and all the cool people are still involved. Like, all the cool people. You have to be part of, like, this exclusive club to write for PG. Like, basically, I mean, I don't know if this is getting to industry, but, like, to the listeners, I went through these, like, initiation rituals to write for PG. And it was, like, it involved, like, a cherry and a pint of ale. And like,
this is a good one. That one is a popular one to you.
Yeah. So, but that's how you weed out who's cool and who's not, and you know who can stick with it. So
it's like a week long process. To be fair, it's really tough going.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes. So we are 6 years old, and there is a rather nice news story here on the site, and there's also a very cool feature about the top 6 handhelds ever. By a certain Mr. Peter Wellington, that's well worth checking out. So yes, do a search for that. Just look at birthday or go for handheld top handhelds, I'd imagine. Also appear on our promo wheel at some point as well. Anyway, so let's move on to the let's go to the roundabout of new releases. This week on the new releases, we're heroes and the Chaos Rings and goats on a picnic. So this week in new releases, we're Motor Heroes. No, I just did that bit. Yeah, so welcome to the roundabout. Quite a busy day today. It's been quite warm today, though, so obviously you can see more unicycles out
than
normal. It's been nice here. It's like 17 degrees.
It has
degrees.
Not here. Has
17
not been nice
degrees,
at all.
Hot and sunny.
Do you know what temperature has been here today?
Well, up in Manchester.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how you say it, yeah. That's how everyone says it up here, yeah.
Probably around 3.
5. It's been 5 degrees.
Really?
Yes.
It's been like 17. It's been real nice. It's
been a big divide.
Oh, I've been walking around naked outside.
Right.
That's taking nothing to do with the temperature.
Yeah, it's the Cambridge Way. Riding on the bicycles.
I don't think it is. Like, I'm just going to put that out there. I think that's a fib. I think you're justifying your nakedity in public to sort of, I don't know, make yourself feel better about making that old woman that you saw all uncomfortable. Like,
look, I only spent a small amount of time in the cells. Anyway, out this week is Motor Heroes. Which is the latest game from Mr. Red Lynx, or rather Red Lynx, because it's not a man. The makers of Trials, of course, Reset Generation on the N-Gage, 1000 Heroes, quite a lot of games. They're very good. I haven't played Motor Heroes yet. Have you been playing this, Keith?
I have.
Yeah, good. So you'll fill in more details later. 2D driving game, physics again, from WiiWare. And it's published by Ubisoft. I think that's one of the first ones on iOS to be published by them, from Red Links.
Ubisoft.
Ubisoft. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Anyway, that's my impression of their logo music. Anyway, so yes, it's available now for iPhone and iPad, and it is 69p on iPhone, but there's a separate iPad version.
Yes.
It's £1.99.
That's one I bought.
Also out this week is Chaos Rings 2.
It's slightly more expensive, isn't it?
Yes, it is slightly more expensive. Chaos Rings 2 is, of course, the third game in the Chaos Rings series.
Brilliant. Well done. More great work from Square there.
wait for Chaos Rings 2X and Chaos Ring 2X versus Ultra.
You could have Chaos Rings 2-2, couldn't you?
Ooh, 2-2 would be good. It looks like Chaos Rings. I'm not sure why people are quite excited about it, because I've played Chaos Rings twice now, and it looks like Chaos Rings again, in which you play like two people that that are forced to fight monsters, and the plots are normally quite good in these. But yeah, it's the end of the world, and the storyline is apparently molded by your choices this time around, rather than just following the set story. And there's a new strategic battle system, which will be interesting, because the original one was quite, it was like a PS1 game, but a PS1 game light in a way. The battle system was quite basic. But yeah, if they've improved that, it might be interesting. Anyway, it's expensive.
Looks pretty though. So.
Oh yeah, no, the graphics look great. But look, that's the same location as in the last two. That one with the bed and the screenshots. Mm. I mean, they're just going to be... I hope they're not reusing the same maps as well, because that would be rubbish. Because they did that in the second game. And also, this battle system looks awfully like the last one. Look at that.
You know, I can't stand games like this, as you very well
I know. Right. That's why I'm ignoring you, Keith. I'm talking to Peter now. Hi, Peter. Doesn't it look great?
Oh, it does. But it does, you know. But I suppose, like, criticizing an RPG, strategy RPG, for looking similar like to everything else is a little bit sort of.
Well, when I say similar, I mean the same.
Yeah, identical. So.
Do you believe he will offer you all up as pillars? That's from Lessica, by the way. She just sent me a message on my Chaos Rings 2 companion app.
I want to believe.
She looks so bored as well. Actually, they both look quite bored in their headshots there. So if you want to buy that on iPhone, though, you're going to be paying £12.99, which is a lot of dollars. I can't be bothered to do the conversion. And if you're going to buy it on iPad, it's $13.99. It's not as bad as Corpse Party. I guess that's the only thing. That's what I'm going to be saying when I buy it. I'm crying into my hands. Dreamy Goat is up next. You play a goat who goes to sleep and dreams of jumping. I'm quoting Ant here. It looks odd.
I like it. It looks pretty and awful at the same time.
It does look. You see, I think it looks pretty awful.
It does, but it's making me smile. So
that's brilliant. Like it looks like a project that you might have done in school for like A level IT maybe or something like that. Like, oh my word.
I think it looks like the iOS version of Journey.
Right. That is going too far. That is going way too far.
I haven't played it yet. I can't say what I feel about that. But look, even at the start of his description, it says, "My journey is everything, goat." That's a quote from Goat.
Maybe Journey looks like this,
Goat
really.
Sports. Look at the feature list, damn it. Encoded messages in RoboDream. Goat's Forts, but everything's in capital except for the S after the... 9 gorgeous soundtracks. 7 additional super levels with Super Whale. Come on. You know.
Art. this is that.
It's a relaxing art game.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yes. Enemies, obstacles? No thanks. Love, peace, happiness? Yes, please. I quite like the description. Anyway, that's 69p. Also out this week is, oh, look at this. Chillingo. Released Picnic Wars. Again, it's another game where you have to pay more for the iPad version. I thought this had died out.
Well, oh. they're all jumping on the iPad boat now, aren't they? So.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. It makes sense. I've played this. I didn't think it was that good.
It doesn't look...
It's like a. It's they've thought, what can we do to Angry Birds that no one else has done before? And they thought, make it isometric.
It's not like then, the art style. But...
No, the art style's not really good. It's £1.49 for the iPad version and 69p for the iPhone.
God, it looks a bit fiddly.
It is fiddly. It's not very smooth either. Well, it wasn't the demo I played. I'm kind of destroying this game's chances, aren't I? I'm not being particularly impartial about it, but I have played it, so
it all hinges on you on your opinion, Will. That's...
It does. I've just destroyed this game. Also out this week is Cheese, Please, from Gameville.
Well, they kept emailing me about this.
Yeah, they kept emailing.
I ignored them. Yeah, I didn't see it. Anyone keeps emailing me about something?
It's by Noobware. Published by Gameville. I suspect this teaser trailer is going to show me no gameplay. Oh, no, there it is. Yeah, it's that maze game showed from overhead. It looks a bit naff. I don't know, maybe the puzzles are good. It looks a bit naff. 69p. Also, the mouse is blue, and I'm pretty sure you don't get blue mice. Hey, guys, guess what's up next?
Oh, it's... Yeah.
Oh, amazing. We never see these ever.
Yes, oh,
this is good art style.
The Island Castaway from G5, our favorite developers.
Been waiting.
Check out that guy on the right there.
He is hot.
That wow. Is fit.
He's been working out.
Yeah, he's wearing that white t-shirt and he's saying, yeah, no, I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good on this island.
Where's he from? Oh, he's with a sailor. Oh.
Yeah, well... I've been stuck on this island for a while now, but I'm feeling pretty good. I'm my clean t-shirt. I'm wearing that. I've got my hand in my pocket. I've got my other hand in my pocket.
I've got an exceptionally white t-shirt that will never stay this clean.
Look, he starts the game face down on a bit of sand. It's not quite the hidden object game, though.
Whoa! I didn't know that Capcom was sharing the cast of Resident Evil 5 with this. That is really bad.
No, it's isometric, and you run around. You chop down trees, you make tools, I guess. Yeah, you learn to fish, find rare plants.
It looks like the ones with the, what are they called? I've had to review them ones with the kids on the island, and then you have to show them how to build a hut and make food and stuff. And then you leave your phone off for a while, and they all die.
I thought you'd shown them how to make food.
I don't care. I hate those games with a passion. I think I managed to review about 5 of them. So, yeah, I usually let them die after a while.
But it looks great. No, it doesn't look great. But maybe it's okay.
It's different.
It's different. It's certainly different. I was hoping for I was hoping for an object game. So yes, intense challenges await you. It's free, but you probably have to pay for in-app purchases. Yes, $2.99 to play the full game. What else have we got? What have we got? Universal. We got Fireball SE. Let's race through these. It's from the makers of Super Crossfire. So Super Crossfire is really good. Movement orientated action game. It's easy dodging waves before leading them to their destruction. It looks quite interesting, this one. Also, I liked Super Crossfire, so that might be worth getting. We'll no doubt have a review up soon. Oh, look, another awesome game. This is great. Loved it on Xbox 360. Plays well on iOS, so there we go. 69p for that one. Rune Raiders is also out this week from Retro 64. Casual adventure title in which you hire a team of 12 unique heroes and head into dungeons. Only
a puzzle thing.
Yeah, it's more of a puzzle game than an adventure. Well, I'm not saying adventures can't be puzzles. But they're adventures of the mind rather than
got tiles on it and stuff.
It's
quite, you know, they're doing things to each other, these tiles, aren't they? So
what do you mean doing things? Like
shooting things out at each other, and they've got arms.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't mean... You're thinking something pervy, aren't you? I wasn't...
Yeah. Yeah, so that's £1.49. And loads of... There's quite a few positive reviews on this one. I think it looks quite good. Harry the Fairy is up next. It follows the adventure... It's not... It follows the adventure of Harry, who is a fairy. As he's green, he doesn't look very much like a fairy. He's green, has got blue wings, and you have to fly him around, I guess.
He looks very worried.
Well, his friends have been kidnapped.
Oh, that's quite sad.
Why
hasn't this been on the news?
No one cares about Harry.
Oh, he's a fairy.
Yeah. I don't know where this is going. So yes, he's now on the App Store from Duolingo, and I didn't catch the developer's name. Who is it?
Zaskans
Games. 69p. Kung Fu Rabbit is also out this week. I'm gonna flash through. How many more we got? A couple, okay. Kung Fu Rabbit is out this week from Bulky Pix. I seem to remember watching a clip from this earlier on in the week, and I wasn't impressed. Let's have a look. So you play a rabbit with martial arts skills. You've got it's basically a platform game, isn't it?
It's finally gotten, yeah.
I really hate, if you're making iPhone game videos, do not put a minute long teaser in front of the gameplay, please. Yeah, I mean, you're all right if you put a teaser in between bits of gameplay, but
they get self indulgent, don't they? They think
and it's like it doesn't look anything like the game as well.
No,
I don't. See, I had an argument with someone. Well, not an argument, discussion about the Assassin's Creed CGI one on the consoles, and I was saying, oh great, well we don't see anything. They're like, but you know, you get to know what's going to be in the game, like climbing trees and using Tomahawk. And I was thinking, actually, that's a fair point, but at the same time, it's not going to be anything like that. So what's the point? Yeah, what's the point, Peter?
I agree. Well,
thank you, mate.
Good mate. Yeah,
I was absolutely insane. That does.
I think also because the thing with iPhone games is you want to know instantly what it's about and whether or not it's going to be a game that you want to play. Because with stuff like Assassin's Creed, like a big console release like that, it's like, yeah, okay, this is the tone. This is what they're going for. This is, you know, all that sort of stuff. That sort of thing. If I'm going to watch a video on YouTube of an iPhone game, I want to know, right, is this a platformer? Is this a, I find objects in a thing, in a room? Is it a music game? Like, that's what I want to know. I don't want to know the story. Birds. Yeah.
They were the first ones to do this style where they just show none of the game. And everyone's gone, Angry Birds did it like this. Let's do it as well.
I always assume it must mean because the game is bad, so they kind of give you as short a glimpse of it as possible.
Almost always the case as well. So Kung Fu Rabbit, which has about 10 seconds of gameplay on the video, is out now for 69p.
It's just 10 seconds again.
Dodonpachi Resurrection. You see, Dodonpachi... Straight away, look at that. Look, straight away. You can see the game is being played. It's even got fingers. They're not afraid to show the game. Anyway, yes. Cave, Dodonpachi Resurrection HD is out for 4S and iPad 2. And it's £7.49. But it is a good game.
I can't play it. I think I've got to review one of these on Windows Phone, and I can't play these for I can't believe it's not butter. I can't do them.
You've got to learn. Okay, you've got to learn how to be in the zone. When every bullet feels like, I don't know, a loving caress.
not in Dodonpachi, but not in Resurrection, I should say. But this is really good. $7.99 is a bargain for this game.
$7.49
even, sorry. Well, even more of a bargain. You can get this game and a Mars bar, probably, for
I haven't played Resurrection yet.
Resurrection's amazing.
I played the previous one that was out on iOS, so it was very good.
I haven't had a Mars bar in quite a while.
No, neither have I. I find them kind of sickly. Super. Talking of sickly, Super Lemonade Factory is also out this week. I'm talking about the lemonade itself, the drink, rather than the game, because I haven't played it yet. However, I think it has been reviewed already. So while I delay you all and distract, look over there.
What's that? Oh, my word.
It's a bronze bird, award. Yeah. So, yeah, oh. Harry said it was an enjoyable little platform game. Has a few nice ideas, but it can't quite see them through to fruition. So there we go. So that's, so 7. That's pretty good. 69p.
It's got quite amusing descriptions on the video.
What were the voiceover?
It's got a character called Andre as well, so.
Oh, that's plus 2. So, yes, Sly Crate to jump around. Jump around. Jump up, jump up. Anyway, that was it. Right, let's move on to what we've been playing.
What we've been playing!
Right, what have we been playing this week? Who wants to go first?
You decide.
All right, Keith.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been playing much. I've only been playing on your instruction.
Yeah,
I downloaded Moto Heroes. How do you say it?
Moto Heroes.
That's it, yeah. Which actually, I had completely slipped my mind that it was the people behind 1,000 Heroes. Which
Heroes,
whatever. Which I also played a while ago, and actually it's incredibly similar. Well, yeah, I'm not all too keen on this, I have to say. I'm not impressed. I've only played the first few levels, but the idea is to get your, it's a 2D, you know, you're driving little kind of buggy things, and the idea is to hang on and get to the end as quick as you can, with obviously there's jumps and leaps and stuff all along the way, and you're essentially racing ghosts, one of which I think it draws from real people, and one of which I think serves as a kind of, if you don't beat this one, you fail, from what I can gauge. So they're all the level, you know, the ones I've played so far, they're all very short, so it's a case of literally you control whether you go forwards or backwards, and then you also control the angle of the buggy, so that when you're flipping around in the air, you've got to try and keep it at the level so you land properly and don't fall off and die. But because of the length of levels, it literally means if you make one mistake at all, you kind of restart, which is, you know, fair enough, and much like 1,000 Heroes was.
Heroes.
And there's also these little kind of bonus objects you pick up along the way, like a rocket that makes you fly up. Because often the goal is kind of slightly out of reach, so you kind of control when you use this rocket to get them. Yeah, it's one of them. It annoys me in the same way as, it's funny enough, as some Sonic games used to annoy me, in that they were later on in 2D Sonic games, you'd have like massive pitfalls that you couldn't see were coming, and you'd have this leap of faith and you'd die. But it was purely because you didn't know the level yet. Obviously, then when you kept playing it for a while, you'd know where they were. And this is, it kind of has that same principle, in that there are lots of points where you're really going for it because you're trying to stay ahead of these ghosts and you don't know the course yet, and then randomly there'll just be this massive hole or something which is there to trip you up completely, which, you know, you could say, well, that's the challenge of it. It makes you go back and play it again. You think, oh, well, I've learned that now. I know that's there. But when it starts happening each level after level, it just starts to get on your tits, because you can't start thinking, I'm being penalized here for not knowing where the level designer has decided to put a massive big thing in my way. It's kind of annoying. But I'm not a big fan of games like this anyway, these kind of physics racer. I mean, I remember a few years ago when I was reviewing Java games, there was quite a spate of these kind of things. One of them was Roller Coaster, which was quite good. And you kind of had to keep the roller coaster. I think it's come onto iPhone, actually, didn't it? I can't remember. But to keep.
Yeah, it was. What was the full title?
Was it Digital Chocolate one?
Yeah, it was Digital Chocolate.
And you had to keep the roller coaster on the tracks, but you could see what the track was going to do. So it was all about preparing whether you sped up, slowed down, or whatever. And I thought they were really quite good. With this, you can't really see what's coming before you've actually hit it, and so you can't really prepare. It's all kind of guesswork, and just it feels to me a bit lazy that you kind of get penalised just because you're not really on board with the developer, rather than actually them. I mean, really, it needs to view scaled out, I suppose, is what it needs. But it's,
sounds a bit like Limbo.
Oh, Jesus.
Has that annoyed you, Peter?
Good.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that my choice of game for you this week.
I'm sure I'm annoying hundreds of people right now, because I bet you there are a lot of people playing this who are loving it. And the kind of idea of pulling a ghost from online people is a good one. Obviously, that's kind of, it kind of taps into the same idea that A Thousand Heroes was all about competing against the world kind of thing.
Heroes.
So I don't know. You need to play it, Will, and let me know.
All right, well, I'll go next, if you don't mind, Mr. Willington.
Go for it.
I've been playing very briefly Sims Free Play. I said I would last week. I hadn't last week, but I have this week. It's quite good. I'm surprised. Yeah, it's all right. Freemium game. But it does quite a good job of pretending it's not. It's nothing like the Facebook Sims, which was a lot more obvious that this was a game where you wait for stuff to happen. And this one, it sort of hides it behind some quite interesting Sims-like things. So you get all of the bladder control and all that, and hunger and sleep, and you create a town of separate Sims, but you're still playing the Sims, so you don't just create a town and you have to wait for money to come in. You do actually wait for money to come in, but it's not the main focus. You go zoomed into their lives, and you can make them inspired, you can build up relationships. It's like playing the Sims, a little bit cut back. You can buy a new fridge, but every single action takes a little bit of time, but it's not too bad. But then if you want to get lots of money, you have to wait a little bit longer. Like if they're really tired, then you can say go for a power nap for like 4 minutes, and then their tiredness will go back up. So it's interesting, because it doesn't feel like you're playing a freemium game that wants to basically take the wallet out of your hand and then go inside it. It's sort of more like a game.
Rather than an angry beast.
Rather than an angry wallet eater. I quite enjoyed it, because also the graphics are quite good, and like the animations are good. Very high quality present, as you hope to expect from EA. They haven't been doing it very much recently with that Battlefield 3 thing. But no, it's well made, and yeah, it's not bad. I mean, like, you can customize your Sims and call them different names, call them rude names. Put them together. I haven't found a way of making them insult each other yet, which is a shame if I can't, because that's part of the fun of The Sims, is making people hate each other and then start a fire and kill them. I don't think that sort of thing happens in this one, unfortunately. You also get a dog. I mean, you get a dog. It's not even you don't even have to get an expansion pack to get a dog. What's going on, EA? You're losing your touch. Should be charging £25 for that dog. Anyway, that's me being bitterly cynical at The Sims on PC. But yes, no, it's it's all right. I don't mind it. There you go. Surprised? Are you?
Aren't you playing The Sims on PC as well?
I am playing The Sims on PC. That's why I wanted to check out Free Play, actually, because I wanted to see what it was like. Because I bought The Sims 3 recently on PC because it was cheap.
You're living out your real world fantasies in Sims.
Actually, I've created you, and
that's what I meant.
I'm currently puppet mastering you around bars. It's quite interesting. It's quite interesting.
It sounds a lot like me, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. It's scarily like you, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. You keep getting tired.
Yeah, no. That's
get
true.
Up, Keith. Stop wanting a bath.
These are the two main things in my life I like to do.
Yeah.
So anyway, don't do them at the same time, it's very dangerous.
Peter.
I've been playing Cut the Rope.
Cut the what?
Never heard of that. Where are you finding these small little hits?
I've got my finger on the pulse, guys. I can't believe I'm trying to explain it to people who haven't played it. It's a game where you literally cut the rope and you need to feed a monster called Om Nom candy. And the ropes are set up as puzzles, and you have to cut the right ropes to get the candy to Om Nom. And it's because it's a classic iPhone game, and I haven't played it yet. And it's pretty good. It's entertaining, and it's very like I've managed to like perfect like 6 of the boxes now out of 10, and it is very compulsive. You do feel like you want to go back and do all of that and kind of figure out how to get the and you know, really just completely destroy the puzzles that are part of it. But I don't know.
Love it enough? Well,
I don't
that's
love
true,
it enough.
Peter. But if you keep playing, you'll even love it even more.
I tell you what, I do. It has made me want to play experiments, which is really bad. I think the thing that it's got going for it the most is the personality that they put into Om Nom.
Yeah,
I think,
Om Nom is superb.
And it's such a lovely little character. And the fact that like one of the achievements is make him open his mouth and then shut it again because you're like teasing him with the candy. You can do it like 10 times and you get a little achievement. And I actually felt bad afterwards. And I think that kind of like speaks to how good that design is. And I think that they really are onto a bit of a winner with Cut the Rope. So look out for it, kids. Look out for it. It's going to do well.
Have you played Where's My Water yet?
I haven't, no.
Oh, that's got to be your next game then.
Okay, all right then.
I prefer that to Cut the Rope.
Well, I was gonna do Angry Birds next. I know. Game about birds and pigs, I think? And I don't know. I don't know.
That sounds a bit crap.
Yeah.
Check out Where's My Water. It's very good. It's a Zixi puzzler. You disagree with me, though, there, Keith. You said it wasn't as good.
What?
Where's My Water compared to Cut the Rope?
No, I've not played Where's My Water. I just got it. Cut the Rope, I think, yeah, it kind of, you nailed it on the head. It's incredibly cute and makes you smile when you start it up. But I think, I mean, I'm notoriously bad at it because my brain just doesn't function in that way. But, I'm not the biggest fan of it. I don't think it's got hit written all over it. But I don't think it's a classic. I think it's all right.
It's a bit of a classic.
It's incredibly sleek, and Om Nom is gorgeous and incredibly funny if you actually fail. But
I do. I like Cut the Rope, to be honest.
It's all right.
The puzzles. They're just pitched to that right side between being easy. Being easy enough to, but hard enough to make you feel like you've put some serious effort into getting the 3 stars kind of thing. But they're never frustrating. They never get to the point where you think, I can't do this.
You know, no, it's not that. I just kind of think I can't be bothered. Kind of after a while. It's very inventive, and later on, obviously, it's incredibly complicated and clever in the way, you know, it starts off, does what all good games do, starts off really simple and layers on top of that. But it's all right. I think it's perfect for, you know, it's a touchscreen game, isn't it? It's the kind of defines that touchscreen as much as Angry Birds does, really. It's
You know what's out this week as well, actually? I've just remembered before we go. Flight Control Rocket just came out, like, literally an hour before we went on. Sequel to Flight Control?
Yeah, I played that, and I don't like it, and I don't want to
talk about it. I like Flight Control. Flight Control's good.
Oh, it's boring.
Oh, it's good.
I find Flight Control kind of boring.
Sit there forever if you're really good at it.
Sit there forever?
Flight Control was my toilet game for a long time.
Harbour Master is much better than Flight Control.
Yeah, it is. But I like the presentation of Flight Control. I think it's delivered really well. And on an iPad, it's very good too. Or if you have a particularly bigger phone, I guess.
Was it good on PlayStation Move? Who knows? No one got PlayStation Move.
That's so horrible.
I'll say sorry to Sony later.
I agree with you.
Yeah, they agree. Yeah, they. Anyway, so that's it. That's it for this week. I hope you all had a fantastic time. We're going to go away and we're going to go off and probably have a lie down for a bit.
Okay.
Not together. Not right. Later on. So I hope you all have a great time, and we'll see you, or rather speak at you, next week, where we'll have a new guest.
Which, does that mean one of us has been kicked out?
Well, I don't see any JJ around here.
I'm sure he wouldn't want to leave.
Well, we'll see. So maybe it'll be a massive podcast.
Five-way.
With a five-way, yeah. But yes, hopefully we're having an extra person join us next week. So someone new who can all bully. Because on the first day on the podcast is always where you're a little bit quiet. So I encourage everyone here to bully him. Relent.
The second one, you're a little bit drunk. That's how it works.
That's how it works, because I tell them then, just drink a lot of beer. It's all okay. You won't
now
get
I'm drinking soya milk these days. See,
yeah, you're past that point. You can't drink beer at the moment.
No, I'm not allowed, actually.
Yeah, doctor's orders. Anyway. So see you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.